Into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
And get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him. Yeah, no.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network. The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
And you're very welcome along to this week's edition. Before we get into it, a reminder, this is the start of Safer Gambling Week, which runs from the 19th to the 25th of November. Please visit responsiblegamblinguk.org for more information. You're very welcome along to the Paddy Power Half Hour. We're here every Friday afternoon from 1:30, taking you through every single Premier League game to tell you what's going to happen and why. Remotely, this week's pointy-headed odds compiler from Paddy Power is Jason Murphy. Jason, how are you?
Yeah, very good. Thanks.
I hope you're going to tip some winners for us. And with us in studio is Enda Call, back from Siberia and here to pick some winners and add some heat after being so cold on the show for the last few weeks. Enda, how are you?
I'm not too bad. I got glasses since I was last on, Jerry.
They suit you very well. You'll be able to see into the future. Right, here's the fixtures that we're going to be running through for you. It's Newcastle against Chelsea, 12:30 on Saturday. Aston Villa against Brighton. That's 3:00. 5:30. Spurs against Manchester City. Jose Mourinho really wants that one. Manchester United against West Brom at 8:00 on Sunday. It's Fulham against Everton at 12. Sheffield United versus West Ham at 2. Leeds versus Arsenal at 4:30. That's our live game on Sunday afternoon. Liverpool against Leicester is the 7:15 kickoff. And then two games on Monday. Exciting 5:30. That must watch window of football. Burnley versus Crystal Palace. And then Wolves versus Southampton at 8:00. We've been running our Twitter poll for you. The manager of the year so far, Ralf Hasenhüttl, with a landslide victory. Even Donald Trump couldn't complain about this one. 54.1% of the vote. Brendan Rodgers in second. Is that the Man United fans voting for Brendan Rodgers just to annoy the Liverpool fans? I'm not sure. Dean Smith in third. And Jose Mourinho can't get no love. What's he got to do? He's fourth on 10% of that one. We didn't even offer Jurgen Klopp for that one, Enda. But you've been asking for some Paddy Power specials for us this week.
Yeah, so this week we have Sheffield United not to win a game before Christmas. And I think that kind of goes without saying because they haven't won a game yet. So we're, what, nearly end of November by next week into game week 9 now. So they're not far off. All they have six more games before Christmas time, and it's not looking good for Sheffield United so far. We have Leicester to finish ahead of Liverpool. Obviously, they're playing each other this weekend. That's going to be a crunch tie for Brendan Rodgers. And also, we have some movements in the aforementioned Ralf Hasenhüttl, his position within Southampton since the 9-0 loss last year to Leicester City, and also where Southampton have moved in terms of the odds for top four, because obviously top four is up for grabs this year. Top six is definitely up for grabs in terms of the dynamics there. So that's the three Paddy Power specials. So Jason, what do we have for us there?
Yeah, so Sheffield United have six games between now and Christmas Day. So we go 9-1 that they don't win any of those games. And if you look at the run of fixtures, yes, they have 1-8. But for those games, you probably wouldn't expect them to get a result. Man City, Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal away. Whereas the other games, the three games that they lost, again, an early sending off against Aston Villa was unlucky. Wolves caught them napping first game of the season. Wolves were 2-0 up after 10 minutes. But Sheffield United, the better team for the rest of that game. So I think they're just getting a bad run of results. They're better than their league position shows. And I don't think that bet will click. I think they'll pick up a win before Christmas. Liverpool against Leicester is really interesting. We have Liverpool expected to get about 80 points this season, allowing for injuries in the start of the season that they've had. Normally, you need about 86 points to win the title, but we think it's going to be a little bit lower than that this season. Whereas Leicester, we have in for 62 points at the moment. And Leicester are really, credit to them, they're maxing out their performance and the points that they're getting on the board. But for Leicester to finish ahead of Liverpool come the end of the season, we actually have that at 8-1 at the moment. You'd need about an 18-point swing in terms of what you expect from those teams for the remainder of the season.
Don't do that one, Enda. Don't do that one. I'm just telling you here, as a little friendly, don't do that one. There's no way Leicester are finishing ahead of Liverpool.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we'll get into it later on.
Yeah, well, I think it's very good just to say it is, you know, safer gambling week, and be aware, be responsible. And football's all about game of opinions. And if you have an opinion on it and you get entertainment, as in if you back that every game that Leicester and Liverpool play, you're getting value for your bet for the rest of the season. So again, if you think it's a bet and you'll get value for it, absolutely. But if you don't think the price is right, then you definitely shouldn't have a bet on it. But in terms of Hasselhoff, if you look back to October last year when they got bet 9-0, prior to that game, he was 10-1 next to be sacked. An hour after that game had finished, he'd been backed into 4-6 to next to be sacked in that manager race. And he was on a terrible run of form around that period. I think they'd only picked up 2 points in the 8 games prior to that 9-0 beating. So Southampton board showed a lot of faith to stick with him. But if you look at the Premier League games played for the remainder of that season, they actually would have finished ahead of Leicester come the end of the season, purely just on the 28 games that played that followed, and would have only finished about 2 points behind Chelsea. So he really turned it around after that. But again, it's almost like Joe Schmidt with the rugby, trust the process. And he's a very good process there at Southampton at the moment. In terms of betting for them to finish in the top six, it's 6-1. In terms of the top four, they opened up at about 33-1, but they lost their first 2 games of the season, went out to 66, but now they're the flavour of the month because they've had a nice run of results last 6 games. They're now 16-1 for the top four. I don't think they'll do that, but the 6-1 to finish top six, could certainly see that happening.
Yeah, it's a lot of this is, and the betting about this is going to be about the schedule that you have as well. If you look at Manchester United playing West Brom, I'm sure that's going to have an impact on the odds for Solskjaer's to be the next sack. We didn't tee you up to ask you or to have anything in advance, but is there any markets around the Republic of Ireland and Stephen Kenny in the wake of this absolutely nonsensical story that's doing the rounds at the moment?
Yeah, so we're very reactive, really good specials team here. So we got up with the market. The qualifiers start next March, and we have it 1-4 that Stephen Kenny will still be in charge for that game. 7-2 that will be gone before then. Maybe I live in a bit of a Twitter bubble, but what I'm seeing on Twitter, Kenny's kids is a really good account. There's a lot of support for Stephen Kenny among the fans, and Kenny's kid put out a tweet showing the Ireland jersey that we wore against Switzerland to celebrate the 1916 Rising. So it's a bit hypocritical to pull Stephen Kenny in for disciplinary proceedings over what this particular video might or might not contain.
That's an excellent point. So that Twitter account is actually well worth a follow. I would just add to that that for me there is definitely a story here, but the story is not the fact that a hype video was shown to the players as part of a 3-day build-up for 3 minutes before a match against England. The story is that there is somebody on the staff of the FAI taking information from the sanctity of the dressing room and bringing that and essentially giving it to the English Daily Mail. For me, that speaks of an organisation that still has someone or people in it that are not actually rowing in the same direction. And you know, you can talk about the relationship that we have with England, but ultimately, this is a bottle of smoke, a hill of beans. It is bad, clumsy rhetoric in the build-up to a game. And maybe it's not even that clumsy, I haven't seen the video yet, but I have a feeling that the FAI are going to release the video at some point, and a lot of people are going to be going, whoa, some goals from Ireland playing England, a shot of the GPO in 1916. Is this really what we're supposed to... Does this qualify as anti-English? It sure as hell doesn't. But what it does mean is that there's somebody in the background who's spinning against the current manager. And if the FAI as an organisation is going to take that seriously, then they should find out who that person is and say, look, it's been great, or those people, it's been great having you around, but we need a united ship from this point forward. So that's what I expect to happen, and that's what I hope the FAI board do, as opposed to hauling their manager in over a pre-match motivational conversation. Anyway, good that we got those. I think that that's a good bet that Stephen Kenny, by the way, will be the Republic of Ireland manager come the qualifiers. Right, let's get into this. Our commentary game on Sunday, Leeds against Arsenal, Stephen Doyle and Brian Kerr is that one. And our Instagram poll results, we ask you every Thursday to get involved and tell us who you think is going to win the game. You've got to follow us at Off the Ball, and the votes only count up until 10 a.m. on Friday morning when we rip them. So our first game of the weekend is Newcastle against Chelsea. Overwhelming support for Frank. He's looking good, Frank, isn't he? 87% think that Newcastle are going to get beaten by Chelsea. And that's obviously not what the market says, because we don't have room for the draw on the Instagram polls. What is the actual market saying here about how Chelsea are going to win this game 3-1, Jason?
Yeah, so the prices that we'd have in the win-draw-win, it's Newcastle 11-2, we've the draw 7-2, and Chelsea 4-9. Chelsea have been shooting the lights out and really, really fluent under Frank. In 5 of their last 6 games, they've scored 3 or more goals. One thing I just want to flag for this is a really good tip, almost. When you hear of past results, you can read a lot into them, but you really shouldn't when it comes to betting. So there's a lot of good narratives, a lot of good newspaper pieces where you'll see that Chelsea have only won 1 of their last 7 visits to Newcastle, losing 5 of them. But what relevance can you give to those games from a good couple of seasons ago? The only real one that I'd use is the game last season where they dominated for 90 minutes and then got stung Hayden with a goal in injury time to win 1-0 for Newcastle. So Chelsea dominated that game last season and have only improved with their transfers since. So for me, the 4-9 is a really fair bet on Chelsea, and it's one, I know it's the early kickoff and you're reluctant maybe if you're doing your accas, but it's one I'd be quite happy to put into my accas at 4-9 Chelsea. And if you wanted to back Chelsea to win 3-1, it's 9-1 price there at the moment.
Right, and you've been looking at this one for us.
Yeah, and I think what Jason said there is kind of spot on. The market that you're looking at, the form that you're looking at, is not the form against the team that they're playing. You want to look at the form that the team's actually in. And Chelsea are unbeaten in 11 games. They're one of the three teams in the Premier League right now that have only lost one game. So they're in really good form, and their players are really starting to click now. You see Hakim Ziyech, who came in. He's been really, really promising for them. And not a player that I would have picked out of the five main transfers that they got that would have hit the ground running, but he has, and he scored three for Morocco over the international break as well. Kai Havertz is free to play in this game because he's passed COVID regulations, didn't play for Germany last day. And they're really in top form, and we're starting to see the collective players come together and start actually performing on the pitch. Their defence is starting to click now. They are missing Thiago Silva this weekend, so maybe that might throw them out of kilter a little bit, but I do think Chelsea are heavy favourites for this. If you look at Newcastle, they're bang in the middle, 13th in the Premier League so far. And the teams that they've beaten, they've only beaten West Ham, Burnley and Everton. So you're looking at teams there that
West Ham and Everton aren't bad.
Yeah, but Everton were missing key players for that game. West Ham weren't really in the best form. That was the game that Mikel Antonio was out injured for. And really and truly, Newcastle are a team that are going to struggle against teams with the attacking power of Chelsea.
5 minutes ago.
Dude, I wasn't even watching.
Well, there you go. Time's up. Right. Moving on to Aston Villa against Brighton next. This one's 3 o'clock on Saturday. 89% cocky Villa fans. What are you doing, you clowns? Brighton, 11%. I don't think the odds are as evenly stacked or as lopsided as that, are they, Jason?
Yeah, we've Aston Villa 11-10, the draw 5-2, and Brighton 9-4. So the odds do say that almost, you know, every other time this game is played, Aston Villa should be winning it. I think the prices are about right. And if I was to have a bet for this game, we are doing a power price special. It's a Saturday treble. So what you can do is you can back Villa, Man City and Brentford all to win. It was 9-2. It's now enhanced to 8-1. And I can tell you that's a generous offer. That's, we're expected to lose money on that. That's a really generous offer. So if you're planning on watching this game and watching the Man City Spurs game, it's a way of having a bet that you get a bit of value out of your bet for watching those two matches and hopefully cheer on a winning result there.
I can't just get on board yet with the expectation that Aston Villa are going to win games, because it's been a long time. It's essentially 20 years since I could tune in on a Saturday. I think we're going to win this game today. And actually it would happen then. Normally what happens is like, oh, I think we've got a chance today. And then you get caught with a late sucker punch at some point. Brighton, though, are one of those teams, an XG column that I follow says that Brighton have been miles behind the results that they should have been getting for the chances they're creating, for the quality of their play.
What does XG mean? XG never put the ball in the net, you know? Like, they're tough. They can be top five in the goals or XG in goals. If they don't score those goals, what does that matter?
Well, maybe they will start scoring those goals at the point, at some point.
At some point, well, they were.
Science suggested it has to come. And traditionally, again, as a Villa fan, these things always, teams always have their best results. Players always have their best game. A breakout season always is pinpointed back. I remember that day at Villa, he ran the game. It's like, yeah, great, absolutely. Look, this Villa team are absolutely different. So, what am I wrong to be concerned about the fact that Brighton are due a good performance?
Due a good performance means absolutely nothing, though. Why are they due a good performance?
Because they've created loads of chances and haven't scored goals. At some point, they're going to start scoring the goals.
Well, maybe. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Maybe they'll be relegated this year.
Jason, what does the sign say?
Yeah, so XG is a really important metric, but again, it's only one piece of the puzzle. What we would say is trust the process. Again, Joe Schmidt at Ireland.
How did that do in the World Cup? What are you talking about? Come on, give me something modern.
The reason why we want Stephen Kenny is because it's a better process.
Okay, I get that. You got me
now,
back there
the
quickly.
The most repeatable skill for a striker is actually getting chances and getting into position, but the actual finishing ability across the top strikers isn't that different, bar outliers like Ronaldo and Messi. So as long as the team is creating the chances and you have a recognised striker, just creating the chances is the important bit, and that's what Brighton are doing. And if they continue to do that, the results will follow. They will catch up, but at the moment they're not. But that's why Potter was brought in and went away from Chris Hughton, because different style of football, and Potter's process is working, but just not taking their chances.
Yeah, so that's my concern. The science, you can't argue with the science.
The clock gone anyway.
Okay,
and really, Graham Potter's process, is it working if they're 3 points above the relegation zone? Is it working if they were in
Spurs
the same place
Man
last
City,
year?
Andy, you said the clock was gone.
Anyway, this is the game of the weekend. This is the game that we care about. 51% of people back in Man City and
you're
on Twitter.
Just about able
which
to
is,
see that screen.
I am so blind right now. So we're talking about this. This is really the game. We've been talking about Tottenham and their potential for the league. This is the most critical stage for Jose Mourinho if he wants to win the league, because he's got Man City this weekend, Arsenal next weekend, Crystal Palace, Liverpool, Leicester, all in the space before Christmas time. So this is really where this is make or break. Tottenham had a load of injuries last year, so this is massive for them. I think it's going to be tighter than we actually think. I do think Tottenham have the potential to do this, because I've been largely unimpressed with City so far this year. And maybe they might get a bounce off Pep getting the new contract and having a bit of security there of what manager they're going to have. But it might actually work the opposite. Maybe
David
the players
Brent
are absolutely
logic.
Sick of it.
That's David Brent logic. There's good news and there's bad news. Do you want the good news first? Well, I got a new job. The bad news is you're all fired.
Well, I do think, you know, largely unimpressed with Man City so far. And amazed at the amount of people who are bought into the fact that Pep Guardiola has reinvented the 4-4-2. 4-4-2 was there anyway. I mean, he's just playing a number 10. I mean, it's not anything amazing what he's doing right now. What Jose Mourinho is doing with Spurs is more interesting than what Pep is doing with Man City this year, because he has now got the ball carriers in midfield to work on his game plan that he's implementing, and they've been really impressive so far.
Call it for me then.
I think Tottenham are going to win this game.
Right. Okay. What does the money say?
Yeah, so when we opened, we had Spurs at 10-3, and the early bets, the early money came for Spurs, and we're backed into 11-4, but they've drifted slightly in the last 24 hours. They're now 3-1 to win the game, 3-1 for it to be a draw, and Man City now 8-11. If you look at the two games last season between these two teams, Man City had 30 shots over the two games, 15 shots on target, and only scored 2 goals, whereas Spurs only managed 5 shots on target and happened to score 4 goals, taking 4 points from the two games. So the Man City process, the style of play, worked against Spurs last season. Spurs have improved, no doubt about it, since then. But I can understand why the poll and why the betting suggests that Man City should win this game. But it's absolutely massive. If City lose, they'll go 8 points behind Spurs, albeit with a game in hand. But you don't want to be chasing a Jose Mourinho team in a title race with that kind of a gap to make up.
They're in the title race for sure. That's the main takeaway from this, is that things are going really well for them at the moment. Okay, Manchester United against West Brom. This one kicks off at 8 o'clock. It is 81% according to our Instagram, and 19% think West Brom are going to do something in this. West Brom have their backs to the wall here, because it's getting to that point now where people are realistically starting to talk about their manager as a potential sack candidate. And we've seen Manchester United's home form in the league be absolutely abysmal. West Brom aren't really blessed with the type of talent that you think would be required to be able to get a result at Old Trafford. But this is 2020 and weird things are happening. Jason, what's the crack with this one?
Yeah, so we've Man United 3-10, the draw 4-1, and West Brom 9-1. West Brom have won 3 of their last 5 visits to Old Trafford, but again, does that make any difference with the 11s we're expecting to see out tomorrow night? West Brom defensively are conceding over 2 goals a game. That's over the last 5 seasons. The team that finishes bottom normally only concedes about 1.8 goals per game. West Brom are just atrocious defensively. And if United can get the players on the pitch, there's doubts over Martial and Rashford. But like, even Fernandes, Cavani got sent off during the week, so maybe he'll be a bit fresher coming back from South America, might actually get a start. You'd imagine United to win this game. But what I would say, as a United fan, once bitten, twice shy, if you're doing a football act on Saturday, I do think this United price is just a little short, with doubts over Martial and Rashford. So if you're doing an ACA, it's not one I would put in my ACA. I'd rather have my 4 or 5 legs, one on Saturday, and my money in the account, rather than trying to just juice up that price a little bit by backing United at 3-10. But they should win the game.
Yeah, they really should. I don't have much more to add to this other than I'm so glad that after 2 weeks I can finally put away the Stephen Kenny, is he the man for the Ireland job, and is Ireland football progressing chat, and replace it with, is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer the man to bring Manchester United forward? It's a nice little thing just to have there. It's a comfort blanket almost.
Play the hits, Enda. Play the goddamn hits. If anybody wants to get in touch with us, you can WhatsApp us, by the way. 0879-180-180 is the number. Fulham against Everton is next. This one is the first of the Sunday kickoffs at 12 o'clock. Andy, you're looking at this one for us. 9% think Fulham are going to beat Everton, who I think are are Everton all that that we thought they were for those 2 weeks in September? I'm not sure.
They've been missing a couple of players. Richarlison's back this weekend, so that's a massive boost for them. Seamus Coleman's fit. Calvert-Lewin's fit. James Rodriguez is fit as well. So they have a better team than Fulham. Let me bring you back to the years before we were chatting about Stephen Kenny in Ireland and the last Premier League games, West Ham against Fulham. I texted you saying, I'm going to take your bet, going to bet against Fulham here. 96th minute, I get a flash score notification to say that Fulham have a penalty, and Adam Adeleukman chipped it into the keeper's hands and won me some money. So I think my strategy over the next couple of weeks is going to be betting against Fulham, no matter who they're playing.
Fair to say,
I already have my money on Everton to beat Fulham.
Your process didn't actually work there. You just fluked a win. That's what that sounds like to me. You needed the stupidest Panenka in recent memory.
That was incredible, though. Imagine being in a relegation battle and having the balls to try Panenka a penalty in the 96th minute to get a point. So I don't think Fulham have it. I do think Everton have a better team than them, regardless of whether they actually play to what they were playing at the start of the season. So I think Everton are an easy price here.
What is the actual betting on this one? How do you price up a Fulham team like this at this point?
Yeah, so we Fulham 11-4, the draw 11-4, and Everton 5-6. Now, couple of things, right? We bet out on Fulham to be relegated after two games because we weren't impressed by what we've seen. But we've seen a bit of fight recently in them, and we're actually best price on them for relegation at the moment, 4-9. 4-9 still says that they should go down. But if you look at their last five games, they've got a couple of points. And the three games they lost, Palace, Wolves and the West Ham game, only lost by a single goal. And that penalty miss was massive for punters. A lot of backers were waiting on West Ham to win that game that Saturday night. And yeah, it cost us a few ball, but a great result for punters. But what I would say, and touch on Enda's point and hammer it home, Richarlison was missing the last three games for Everton. Since he signed for Everton, they haven't won a league game where he hasn't played. Now, that's, again, context. How many games has he not actually played? It's a run of 8 games since he signed. He hasn't played in the league, but they haven't won a game without him. And if you look, particularly the Newcastle game where he tried to play Sigurdsson and Gomez in the front three, it just didn't work.
No.
It really didn't work. What Richarlison brings in terms of stretching the defence and knitting everything else up and allowing that space then for Calvert-Lewin, James Rodriguez to do what he does is massive. So the 5-6 on Everton would be one of my stronger bets for this weekend.
Okay. Sheffield United against West Ham is next. This one kicks off at 2 o'clock on Sunday. 35% think that Chris Wilder's team is going to get off the mark, and it's 65% for West Ham, who have been good this season under David Moyes. The record for Sheffield United so far, 0 wins, 1 draw and 7 defeats. Sander Berg is out for this game as well. That's not great because he looks like a really good signing, and the value is there for them in the investment that they made. A bit of a slow start last season, really picked it up at the start of this year. Mikel Antonio looks like he's back, as is Yarmolenko for West Ham. West Ham are going to win this game, aren't they? This is one of those ones where, as soon as I said that, I'm like, actually, you know what? West Ham have been traditionally flaky. So now I've talked myself into doubting West Ham this weekend. I shouldn't really, should I, Jason?
No, you're dead right. West Ham 11-8 to win this game. Sheffield United 2-1 and the draw 21-10. That's pretty similar. I mean, you've only two selections in the poll, but that's pretty similar to what the poll is saying. But I couldn't touch West Ham at that 11-8. I think the narrative on Sheffield United, for reasons outlined earlier, they've had a really difficult run of games. They're not as bad as that league position or points total suggest. Whereas West Ham, Moyes says he'll have to see how Antonio is. They're going to assess him. But even if he's on the pitch, I wouldn't be touching that 11-8 on West Ham. If you look at this game last season, it was played in January. Sheffield United went off odds on to win that game. Now things have changed. There's no home crowd in Bramall Lane for this game. West Ham have improved definitely since then. But the prices, I just don't agree with that 11-8 on West Ham. I wouldn't touch it. Can't trust Sheffield United to score the goals to win a game, but the 2-1 Sheffield United is the value bet out of that game.
Okay, have you got anything to say about this?
No, Sheffield United have just fallen apart, really. So I do think West Ham are going to win this, but I'd probably agree with Jason there. The price isn't probably good enough to take a bet on West Ham because they are flaky, as we know from the last couple of years.
All right, Leeds against Arsenal kicks off at 4:30. On Sunday afternoon, we've got Double Dub on commentary duty for you for that one. It's Stephen and Brian Kerr, and the poll says it's 50-50. Bang on.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, like, I know Leeds are a newly promoted side, but if you compare, people are putting them up with Arsenal here. So if you're comparing Leeds with a team like Arsenal, and so I'll bring Man United into it. Man United have had their worst season starting off and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's job is on the line. Leeds are, I think they're level on points or just behind Man United now. So it's not as if they've had an amazing start to the season. They played a lot of good football, but they're not getting the results to follow. So you're almost in the same territory as Brighton or these project teams. That you know, you have the format there, you have the process, but if you're not turning into points, the Premier League is an unrelenting league and you will start to fall down the table. That's what's happened in Leeds really since the start of the season. But Arsenal again as well. I'm starting to question if they are actually a good team or if they're just starting to progress further than where they were last year. So it's going to be a tight one. I hate saying there's going to be goals in a game because then it always ends up in a scoreless draw. But I genuinely do think there is going to be goals in this. Leeds are a team that have the ability to stretch a team like Arsenal. And if you look back at their game in the FA Cup last year, where Leeds dominated the game, Arsenal ended up going through because Leeds couldn't take their chances. Leeds are a more clinical side now. So I think Leeds do actually have a chance there. I think it's going to be a score draw if I was to pick anything out of this.
Okay.
Deafening silence. Well, Jason?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'd be expecting goals. Leeds, I think, have conceded 17 goals so far this season. The prices for the game is like it's Leeds 21-10, the draw 13-5, and Arsenal 11-10. And your poll is really, really interesting that it has them 50-50. What I would say is the market can't figure Leeds out. They're playing the football they played in the Championship, but I think they're getting punished when they're giving away chances at the back. The standard of finishing that they got away with in the Championship, they're not getting away with now in the Premier League. But the market, like I said, can't figure them out. If you look at their price away to Aston Villa, I had them 2-1. The market had them 3-1, right? So the market was against Leeds there. But then if you look at the price against Leicester, the market had them 6-4. I had them bigger, about 15-8. The market was in favour of Leeds there. So the market can't figure them out. And if I was to have a bet for this game at those prices, I'd agree with, you know, the poll that it's probably 50-50. So therefore, if there was to be a winner, I'd rather be siding in a three-way market Leeds at the 21-10 for this game. But it's going to be fascinating to watch. The Leeds press against Arsenal trying to play up from the back. The FA Cup tie last year was a great game. Leeds dominated the first half, 10 shots to 2. Arteta changed it at half-time and Arsenal dominated the second half in terms of shots and getting the winner. So it's going to be a fascinating watch on Sunday.
We should talk about Aubameyang not being able to kick snow off a rope all of a sudden. That's the maddest disintegration of form that I can remember.
It's just
really
how it goes, isn't it? Well, one goal can change all that, Ger.
It can, okay. And maybe it's going to come against the Leeds defence. Liverpool against Leicester, 7:15 on Sunday night. You didn't know you needed football at 7:15 on Sunday night, but there you go. Liverpool 63% on Instagram, Leicester 37%. Liverpool's missing players, almost as bad as the Republic of Ireland at the moment. Mo Salah with the Rona, Joe Gomez out with the knee for 6 months, Trent Alexander-Arnold calf, potentially a month, Andy Robertson hamstring, probably going to play, Jordan Henderson leg, potentially going to play, Fabinho hamstring out for a week, you know, Virgil's out for 6 months, Thiago's out for the week. The Ox also out. That's not good.
Not good. It's almost like Ireland, but with world-class players.
Well, it's true. apparently, the stats say they're going to be okay without Mo Salah for a couple of weeks, just for a couple of weeks.
It's looking like Thiago might be fit as well. So it's okay. I'd still have Leicester favourites for this game, though, because of their form and because they have... Liverpool have to do what Leicester did at the start of the season here and just ride out this storm of injuries, right?
Well, and so they did. Leicester have ridden out that storm of injuries. I think, Jason, were you making the point that it's going to be interesting to see how they get all those players back into the team when they come back from injury?
Again, they've done really smart business over the summer, but they do have their injury doubts for this game, Leicester, as well. Wesley Fofana has been excellent since he came in, but he's a doubt. And Castagna has been a seamless replacement for Ben Chilwell. Both of them are out for Leicester. And like I touched on earlier as well, Leicester are getting the maximum of their possible points total and a bit of luck along the line as well. They've had 8 penalties this season. That's the most at this stage of the season, the earliest in this stage of the season that a team has gotten 8 penalties already. And significant ones for the win against Wolves, the couple they got in the game against Man City, and even the first game of the season against West Brom to put the game to bed. So Leicester have been getting a nice run of variance. And the price for this game now... Liverpool actually opened up 8-15 2 weeks ago, so they're now 5-6. So you can see the difference has happened in the news that has happened since then. Whereas you can get Leicester now at 13-5. For me personally, I'll wait and see the starting 11s. But if it's Matip with someone as a recognised centre back, you get Thiago or Henderson in there, and then you still have the front three of Firmino, Mane, and Diego Jota. I'd be siding with Liverpool at those prices, because I just think the narrative has gone a little bit too far on Leicester. And this game last season as well, Liverpool dominated Leicester. Obviously, they won't have the same 11. Took a Milner penalty to win it later on, but they absolutely dominated Leicester in this game last season.
All right, Monday football. Monday evening, no need to watch football. Burnley against Crystal Palace. It's Burnley 27%, Crystal Palace at 73%. Nil all draw. Tell us how it's going to happen, Enda.
Yeah, I'm not going to waste too much time on this, Jerry, because we're running out of time, but like, Crystal Palace are going to win this. That's pretty much all I'm going to say. Sean Dyche, we've spoken about it before. He's frustrated. The team's not playing well. There's no shape to them. They're in the relegation zone. Crystal Palace are going to win this. That's what I have to say. 15 seconds.
I think it's
don't waste your time on
it. I think it's going to have like a... Certainly, there are not going to be more than two goals, and this is my take on that. What does the market say?
Yeah, it's a Burnley 17-10. They draw 2-1. Palace 7-4. When you have a game that tight, you tend to back the draw because it's the bigger price of the three. But like we've been saying, like, you know, you don't have to have a bet on this game. But if you are looking at it, fair play to you, you're probably back to 0-0, or maybe have a look at the unders.
Yeah, there's no, like, it's the least crack back in a 0-0 draw. I did it for the game that came up a couple of weeks ago. Was it United Chelsea, whatever game that was? And it was like, it is literally no crack because you're hoping the goals don't get scored. It's not the
keep
best
the ball
way to
in the middle.
Yeah. Wolves against Southampton is the last one here. We've already talked about just how good these two managers are, really. Wolves, heavy favourites, 6-4 here, 60-40 in favour of Wolves, according to our Instagram supporters. What is the story with these two teams when you come to rate them to try and price them up?
Scrap one. So with Wolves 5-4, the draw 21-10, and Southampton 23-10. So with no home advantage, I can tell you that price of 5-4, we're saying that if it was at a neutral, completely neutral venue, we're rating Wolves slightly better than Southampton. And over the course of the season, we do expect Wolves to finish just above Southampton based on what we've seen from Nuno's team last year. Hasselhoop, it's positive for him at the moment because of the last six games and how well they've done. But over the long run, we expect Wolves to get a couple of points more than Southampton, and that's why you'd see them a little bit shorter at the start of the season in the likes of the top six or the top four markets. What I would say is my own personal ratings, I'd actually have Wolves odds on for this game. I don't think the market has possibly counted enough for Danny Ings missing. When he went off injured against Aston Villa, the markets didn't, that was a Sunday, they didn't realise until the Monday morning that how significant it was. And the price against Newcastle for the following week drifted by just over a quarter of a goal. That's as much as you will really see a price move on the back of one player missing. Absolutely vital. Che Adams has stepped up to the plate. But for this game, if you're watching it and you're not watching I'm a Celebrity, I'd side with Wolves to be the better value, the values in Wolves and all the Wolves positive markets for this game.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. You have anything to say, want to say about Wolves and Southampton?
No, not really. I kind of echo what Jason was saying there with Danny Ings. He's very, very class. Important. So he's absolutely quality.
And it's gone there, I think, is it?
And it wouldn't pick a bet for us. Did you pick a bet this week?
I picked a bet, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go with the under in the Burnley Crystal Palace game. It's the only way to make that bearable.
Yeah.
So I had a winning bet last week, and you didn't.
Well, technically, I did.
No, the person in that seat
Callahan,
didn't.
No. Will O'Callaghan chose my bet, but he chose his bet. I wouldn't have done
you
what
did.
He did.
He was electoral college.
He was wrong.
He went and placed the vote for you. That's how it goes.
But I actually put physical money on a bet, which
count.
Won. So. It was your bet technically. So what? I don't know if you get double points for that. But I'm betting against Fulham. The next couple of weeks, just betting against Fulham.
So Everton
to
win.
Everton to beat Fulham. I think it's short odds, but it's easy money.
All right, Jason. Anything else for the weekend that you want to get off your chest? I mean, you know, feel free. The soapbox is yours.
Yeah, what I would say is just be responsible about your gambling. I feel really strongly about what I started in the industry 4 years ago, and I've seen changes even since I started. You don't always have to have a bet, and this year has probably taught us more than any year, really, that we need to look out for each other. So, you know, if it stopped being fun, just don't have a bet and ask for help. It'd be the really strong message that I'd give this week.
All right, good stuff. This is the start of Safer Gambling Week, which runs from the 19th to the 25th of November. Visit responsiblegamblinguk.org for more information. We're back next Friday afternoon around about 1:30. Enjoy the games. Cheers.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.